He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Yeah, well, not quite tonight. I got a call late this afternoon from our good friend George Whittam. Says, I'm stuck with a client. We're building something. So I can't get out. Can you do the show yourself tonight? And I'm like, well, I can't broadcast it on Ustream, but we'll figure it out. We'll find a way to do it. And here we are. And hopefully you're all watching this on YouTube and seeing utter chaos. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East, and you're all over the place. And so what we're going to do tonight, just format things a little bit different. If you're in the chat room, Anthony is monitoring the chat room. And Anthony Gettig, there you are. Anthony,
yes.
Speak to us. My sidekick for the evening. See, now it's kind of tough to try and do a show with there's nobody to play with. I mean, it's, you know, if I sat here and did a monologue for an hour, you guys would all be going. So it's good that I have somebody. So how's the weather up in the upper reaches of the state of Michigan?
The hinterlands. I am in the UP of the UP. It is right now 9.9 degrees. We call that butt-chilling cold. It is... Gosh, a lot of snow. I mean, literally, we just checked the snowbank at the end of the driveway. Kids next door were sledding off of it. It's about 9 feet high now. So.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's winter. That's what happens around this part of the world.
Yeah.
You know, that's we got about a foot here in the last 2-3 days, and today it was bright sunshine. So you had to like put on these nuclear powered sunglasses. You know, or you're going to be, it's like, you know, looking, you know, into a weld. It's pretty bright, pretty bright out here today. Anyway, life goes on here anyway, but my wife and I have discovered something fascinating. We have found the meaning of life. Trader Joe's.
Not 42?
No, it's Trader Joe's.
Oh.
It used to be, there was no Trader Joe's here in Buffalo. The only one we knew of was in Orange, California. So whenever I would visit my mother, that's when I would get the masala, you know, simmer sauces and all the dried fruit they have there. Well, now they've opened up a Trader Joe's in Buffalo. So my wife is totally addicted to it. And so we're like, it's now every dinner is like, it's a Trader Joe's dinner. It's a Trader Joe's. And it's not bad stuff. See, now I'm going to get them as a sponsor.
See, we're far enough north here, Dan, that we have traders, but we're still trading in furs and pelts and things like that.
and you need them.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, well, what are we going to do tonight? Well, we've got a great show, because even without George, but we still have our guest, Rob Siglin-Paglia, the attorney and voiceover actor and various other things will be joining us. We'll talk about end-of-the-year legal stuff, tax advice, legal things. We'll make up something. And we also have some other subjects that we can bring up with Rob. And that should be very interesting. So stay tuned for that. You'll be able to ask some questions of him in case I run out of questions. But when Rob and I talk, we never run out of questions. And he never runs out of answers, which is the best part of it. But he's also the author of the book, Voice Over Legal, which you should buy if you're a voice actor. And if you're not a voice actor, what on earth are you watching this show for? Go figure that. Well, okay. Well, we're going to break into the first deal here. You know, when George said, oh, I can't do the show tonight, I'm like, well, am I going to be able to do my tip of the week? I spent all weekend working on this. So I am going to play my tip of the week because I can. So let me cue that one up here, and let's go to that. And let me know if you can see this.
Hey,
You know, we get a great deal of questions about processing. Now, does is equalize your peaks and valleys on your waveforms. It creates a consistent volume. Watch. See nice even average peaks. It's a little bit more complex than that, but for now, that's what you need to know. It's useful when you have large variations in volume over the course of a file. EQ. Amazingly misunderstood and misused. It's like the old tone knob on your old radio. Remember those? Your voice, if captured properly, shouldn't really need any adjustment. Any corrections for sibilance or overemphasized bass frequencies need to be minimal. They're just slight adjustments to correct for those minor problems. You can use it for special effects like
creating a telephone sound.
But only if you're asked to.
Hey Dan, can you do a telephone effect on that?
Finally, the most misused of all, normalizing. A lot of people think it's a way to make up for poor levels on the initial recording. No. It will make things louder, but it will make everything louder, including every other noise that isn't your voice. It raises the overall level to a consistent -3 dB peak. And you use it only after you've done any compression and EQ to make up for any losses. Of course, there are variations and different opinions about this, but you have to do it based on what you sound like and what your home studio presents you specifically. So someone whose only experience is their own closet isn't going to give you the accurate information you need to do it right. So the bottom line, if you don't know what it does, don't use it, unless you're asked to, and what specific settings you need to use. We'll cover each of these in more detail in 2014. And that gives you something to look forward to. And that's my tip of the week. Of course, we're trying to figure out how on earth was I going to present my tip of the week this week. I got away with it. Okay, so the sound went off halfway through, well, the beginning there, because I tried to mute my microphone so in case I started swearing to everybody else, it wouldn't come over, but I also ended up muting the entire audio. So anyway, so what kind of processing do you use, Anthony?
Very little. Very, very little.
Because you listen to me.
Yes. Yes, you are correct, sir. No, very little. I have my mic going into my Focusrite. I'm using the little iTrack Solo right now. I do have the bass roll-off on it because I find that helps just about everywhere. And then I record mostly into Twisted Wave. I don't have a need to use a gate. This place is so quiet, thanks to Studio Suit, big time.
Thank you.
And gosh, yeah, that's about. You know what? I do like a 2-to-1 compression, very very subtle, very subtle. But that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clients like what I do.
Yeah, well, it's because it's supposed to be nice and clean, and yeah. And we try to say this on the show all the time, that don't overthink the whole process, because I get a lot of email from people, you know, people who saying, you've got to help me, I've got to do this because they want me to do this for this particular for ACX, and I'm so scared they're not gonna like it. Just make sure your audio is nice and clean to start with, and it's not a problem. I mean, I think that would ease a lot of people's fears if they just realized, make sure you're recording in a nice quiet spot and make sure you're recording at enough level, and then you don't have any problems.
Yep.
And that's
that quiet space is so important too. I had someone, actually an agent, send me an MP3 today of someone she's thinking of adding to the roster. She said, could you give this a listen? What do you think? And I could tell the room was live, untreated. And I recommended a certain Studio Suit solution that they should get a hold of you. Right. So hey, maybe, you know. But yeah, you can totally hear it. You just need a quiet place, good levels. I mean, just basic stuff. You're totally right, Dan.
Yeah, of course I'm totally right. I'm the home studio master.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you very much. I miss George. I mean, not that you're and I really appreciate you pinch hitting tonight, Anthony. It's one of those things that, you know, George and I just have this rapport. We've worked together for so long on this, and we know what the other guy's going to say, or at least I know what he's going to say. He never knows what I'm going to say. And that's half the fun of it. But processing is one of those things that I want people to stop panicking about and stop worrying about. And it's not, like I said, it's not going to make or break your career. It simply is not going to do that. It's a matter of having a good, quiet studio, and that's why you show up to the show every week, to make sure we do that.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. Well, we've got Rob Siglin-Paglia with us in just a minute, and before we do that, now I don't have any more recorded stuff here. I mean, George has all the stuff. See, now normally we would just be broadcasting this over Ustream, and he's using Ustream Producer or this new software, and he's got the Hydra and all these wires coming out of his mixer, and it's just all this stuff. And so it's like, well, how do we broadcast this without George? And he's like, well, why don't you just run a repeat? I'm like, I'm not going to run a repeat. We're just going to be able to do this, and we'll make it happen.
Sure.
And we have. So far, even though I messed up the audio, which George does all the time, by the way. He forgets.
You know,
oh, wait, I didn't turn that up.
You have to stop pointing at that camera.
Anyway, so I guess I'll just do a live spot. But first, we got to remind people that they can get their official East West Audio Body Shop clickers.
Nice.
I love the macro lens on this thing. And they're great for making sure that if you make a mistake, you can see it real easy on your waveform. $5. Just there's a link in our website for PayPal, and you see this little metal thing. I remember going through the airport security with 250 of these things. You know, and they're like, didn't even look at it. I'm like, oh sure, guys are coming through with bombs and stuff like that, and no wonder. Well, that's can't even see you know. 500 pieces of metal, and they can't even detect that. So anyway, but we will send them anywhere. We have sent them to Australia. We have sent them to Canada. We have sent them, to Duluth. I don't know if we've sent them to Duluth yet. But I know we can get them all the way up to the Keweenaw Peninsula, and I know we can get them all the way to New Jersey, where our next guest is coming from. Anyway, Studio Suit, because I'm supposed to come up with a new Studio Suit spot. I got to just tell you, people are buying it, people are loving it. What is it? It is a sound dampening solution that will work in your studio, especially perfect for a closet. If you're looking for a way to make your closet not sound like a closet, Studio Suit. And where do you get Studio Suit? You go to vostudiosuit.com. and check it out. Listen to the testimonials. Look at the videos that are there. You will be so convinced that this is the greatest thing ever to come across anywhere in the voiceover profession, anyhow, in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, and I'm sure Rob will say you can't say that. We'll ask him about that. So, vostudiosuit.com, go check it out. I could run an ad for it. Just go look for yourself. There's so many great things there. Anthony's already told you how great it works in his studio. I, of course, use it in my studio back here, even though it's covered up by the mustache scarf sent to me by Chuck and Stacy over at VO Buzz Weekly. Thanks, guys. So, vostudiosuit.com, go over there. Also, let's see. I think it's time to...
Hey!
Wait, there's somebody joining us here. Could it possibly be? Does he have any audio? Weapon of choice. Well, that's an interesting one.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, everybody.
George, you made it.
Hi, Rob. Sorry I couldn't be in the studio where I was supposed to be. I'm in the wrong studio.
How's it going?
Good. I'm just trying to... I had to move somebody's studio today, and my guy that was helping me dislocated his shoulder, which slowed things down a little bit today.
Oh, I can relate to that. Anyway... Well, we're out of the first break, and it's time. And now that George is actually a guest on the show, and let's welcome our guest joining us. Now, you're in Jersey, right, Rob?
Connecticut.
Jersey, Connecticut. It's all the tri-state area.
Only a couple hours south. No problem.
That's right. All right. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you back on here. Well, we've billed you as coming on and talking about year-end advice for voice actors, especially voice advice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So what's one thing that... As the end of the year approaches, what's one thing that us voice actors should really put into our brains that has to do with our business and our legal standing and stuff?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing, of course, is record keeping. You know, trying to gather all the records together. That's the hardest part of the whole tax process. So, yep, exactly. Start get the shoeboxes out there. And if you can do it electronically, obviously that's better. It's gonna make life easier for you. But you know, if you're the shoebox method of record keeping, that's fine too. But you know, just start getting them together. That's the key now. So
yeah, really. So tax preparation is everything. I mean, like you said, if you can use software, like I use QuickBooks. You know, and one of these days I'm actually going to learn how to put the debits in. You know, it's like, okay, expenses, there's the receipts. Okay, oh, income. Okay, you can just type that one in. That's no big deal. All right. What else should people think about as the year starts to wane away?
Well, now's a good time also if you do a quick estimate of what they think is going to be payable in taxes, because now's a good time to buy equipment and things like that before the year's over if you need some extra expenses. So you still got a couple weeks left, so now is a good time to do your accounting, do your inventory, figure out, you know, if you need a new microphone or something like that, because
a new Mac perfect. Mini.
There you go. a new Mac, a new laptop, whatever, you know, and a studio suit equipment. There you go.
Oh, just, I like good one. All right, I like that.
So, because it is, like I said, it's a good time now to, you can write things off in the 2013 calendar year still now. So,
yeah. So, what kind of questions are you getting from, because I'm sure you get emails from all sorts of voiceover people all the time. I learned not to bother you. what kind of questions are people giving you? And, like, what are the stupidest voiceover questions you've ever gotten, legal questions?
Stupidest? I don't know. I don't think there's any stupid legal issues that come up. You know, wacky ones maybe. Yeah. Not stupid.
Can I write? Can I write most of that off?
Can what?
Can I write off this trip to Bermuda?
There you go. Well, I mean, people. I mean, if it's a legitimate trip to Bermuda, you know, for going on a an educational tour or something like that, yeah, go for it. I mean, I've been getting a lot of collection questions lately, and so one of the things that I'm kind of nervous and fearful about is I think it's becoming a little bit of an epidemic, excuse me, where, you know, people are not getting paid. So it's you know, it's a little disturbing. So I'm getting a lot of questions about collections and people not getting paid more than ever. Yeah. So
what's one of the reasons that obviously the economy can be kind of weird, but how can people make sure that they get paid? I know you've talked a lot about this in other venues too.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest for me, my advice is always get money up front for new clients. I think it's not just negligence, and not just the economy anymore. It's people that are getting ripped off by voice seekers all over the world because, you know, people are starting to take advantage of the fact that, you know, a talent is in another part of the world or country, and so they're... I can't go out on a limb and say that they are ripping talent off, but the potential's there. So I think that talent need to protect themselves more. You know, get money up front if it's new clients. Get PayPal. You know, use PayPal. It's great. Credit cards. Sign up for credit cards. I mean, just get a deposit so you're not getting ripped off, not getting stiffed for the whole project. So. Really?
I'd like to know if there's anybody in our audience that's in the chat room or watching this show that doesn't have PayPal. I mean, it's what's made what we do actually legitimately possible. Because I remember back in the 90s, and the, you know, I was doing voiceover again and doing it in studios, and you know, it was a matter of, you know, make sure you show up with an invoice and then make sure you follow up with a lawyer in 6 months when they still haven't paid you. But with PayPal, it's made what we do actually possible, hasn't it?
It's a lot easier. I mean, even taking credit cards through QuickBooks, you know, that makes life easier too. So
that's true. Yeah, and Quicken, yeah, there's a couple of different places you can do that kind of stuff now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got a couple of questions from our audience. I mean, we're just going to wing it here. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sort of juggling in the air here. Jerry Reed has a question for you. Can an individual have a legal trademark?
Yes. That's another thing I've been getting a lot of questions about, actually, trademarks. And it's another thing I've been seeing a lot of battles about, trademarks, especially since people are using, you know, fancy names. And I've been advising people to trademark them so that, you know, they're not getting either stolen on purpose or by accident. So, yeah, absolutely. An individual can hold a trademark or a company, either one.
Rob, yeah. When you say fancy names, do you mean, what do you mean by fancy names? I mean, like, is it like your tagline, you know, like I'm the voice of choice or whatever somebody's little thing under their name is. Is that what you're talking about?
It could be that, or it could be, you know, a name that somebody uses for their company or for their, you know, like the voiceover man or something, you know, whatever. Just, sure. you see a lot of people that actually have some kind of branding where they're not using their personal name. They're using some kind of company name or, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about nostalgia.
Voice of the 80s.
Voice of the 80s. Yes, I totally dated myself with that. But got to get back in focus here. There we go. Anyway, so, all right, question from Tremaine Kendrick Mosley. Going back to what you were talking about before, which is how long should a person take before taking legal action if they haven't been paid from a gig?
Well, first of all, people need to invoice right away. I always say that you shouldn't wait. As soon as you're done with the job, invoice. You get the clock going, and so it's fresh in the voice seeker's mind. You know, after 30 days or so, you know, that's kind of the rule of thumb. You know, then voice talent starts to get nervous. Anybody starts to get nervous if they're not paid. How long should you wait? You know, that's a gray area. I mean, because it could take 6 or 9 months to get paid legitimately, just because it's just the way the business is. So, yeah. I mean, if you have some indication that the person's not going to pay you, You know, if you heard maybe they haven't paid somebody else or they've gone out of business or something like that, you know, then obviously those are red flags. So, you know, after 30 days, though, start sending your invoices, you know, just keep second notice, third notice, but just keep sending them. Send them every week, send them every couple of days, whatever, until you get acknowledgement. So,
yeah. One of the fun things about working with foreign companies is they like to do wire transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any potential problems with doing wire transfers?
No. Wire transfers, it's instant money just like PayPal or credit cards. So, you know, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Wire transfer is used all the time in like real estate transactions, for instance. You know, you send wiring instructions out and you get money from the bank and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, yeah, I mean, it's come up, just do your wiring instructions, get them from your bank, do a little sheet, send them off and, you know, to your foreign clients and they can just issue you the payment. It's fine. Yeah. So.
Great. All right, Devox, who always has a question, and usually a good one, what are the differences, and this goes back to what we were talking about initially, what are the differences, especially tax withholding and filing, in getting paid as a foreign-based company with U.S. clients? Just thought I'd throw you a really, he thought you'd throw you a really good curveball there.
So if someone's based out of the United States and they're getting paid from clients in the U.S. Is that that's what
if they're out of the U.S. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, unfortunately, if you're making money, well, if you're out of the country, then you're going to file your taxes wherever you are. So you don't need to really worry about filing U.S. tax unless you're a citizen. So right. If you're a citizen or have a green card, then you need to file taxes here. But if you're a resident or a citizen of another country, you don't need to file taxes here in the United States. You file them there. So that's the general rule of thumb. There, of course, there are exceptions to that rule. This is where an accountant comes in, a good accountant comes in to play, to figure out all the different, try to figure out all the different tax laws and put them together. So.
Right. And the thing is if you're in voiceover, you should be making enough money that you can afford an accountant.
Exactly.
I think that's an important point to make there. It's always good to have a good business manager, an accountant, you know, aside from your agent. You know, when you're just starting off, you really have to learn accounting on your own. And, mm-hmm. Because I remember studying it in college and going, what?
Yeah.
Kind of a tough one.
Yeah, we do voiceovers because we don't like to do math. There you go.
So. Exactly. Now we teach math. Now, I've done lots of math programs, and you've probably done some too. And it's like the quadratical equation is like
we just have to read it though. We don't have to figure it out.
That's right. We don't have to figure it out. But I've learned so much from doing it. Let's see here. Go back to the trademark, guys. You're just jumping all over the place with these. What's the difference between a trademark and a service mark?
It's the same thing. A service mark is for a service business, which was voiceover. Trademarks for goods. So, like Coca-Cola is a good. So that would be a trademark. For voiceovers, it would be a service mark. But it's the same thing. The terms are used interchangeably.
Okay. See? Well, that answers that question. What else goes on in your life these days? Now, how's the book going? How's voiceover legal selling out there?
Good. Excellent. It's, slow and steady. We're still trying to get our affiliate program going, which it looks like we're going to be get going pretty soon. So that would, we'll hopefully get it into some curriculum for new voice talent because it's something I think they should learn right up front. Try to protect themselves. So.
Oh, absolutely. I read it thoroughly, and it was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I sort of knew that. I remember that, but that makes a lot of sense because actually most of the stuff that you talk about with voiceover legal, it's pretty common sense. It's just mm-hmm. specifically to voiceover.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all the basic areas of law that apply to our business. So it a lot of the areas I talk about applies to many different industries, not just acting in voiceover, but all, many different kinds. So. They're basic general business law principles, but they are, like you said, geared toward our business. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how can they get a copy of VoiceOver Legal?
Go to voiceoverlegal.com, and you can order an e-version or a paperback version.
Wow. So I think I have both, actually. So in case I lose one, I could just go on my computer and I could find it. And it's a great reference book to have in case you have a question. Instead of picking up the phone or getting on your email and emailing Rob, who's busy doing all these different things, all the answers to your questions are probably there. What kind of voiceover projects you've been on lately? And acting projects?
Well, I actually have a regional commercial I'm recording tomorrow. So I've done a couple of short films. I got a couple of national TV shows in the can, waiting for them to get broadcast. So I'm doing lots of things.
Law and Order?
No Law and Orders. I have an audition for a play coming up on Thursday too. So
great. Yeah, I find if you're ever watching a Broadway show that it comes, it's like it does a road tour and they come to Buffalo. It's like, well, who's in the cast? Okay, and what were they in? Law and Order. Law and Order. All the New York actors have been in Law and Order.
Yeah, that's true. Not as much now because there's only one left.
So. Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the other things that you've been involved with, and you've actually been working with me on it, is World Voices Organization, and we've been having a good time with it, and we're getting it together. What exactly is your responsibility? At least explain it to them, and what's your view on what World Voice Organization, World Voices, should be?
Well, I'm the counsel, the attorney for World Voices. So I write all the documents, the bylaws, drafted the bylaws, worked on all the best practices documents. And what I think it should be, our whole voice community getting together, figuring out some kind of standards, because this business is very young and very, very much growing and very much evolving. And so it should be an area where professionals can have a say in the standards and also mentor some of the new people coming in so that we kind of do things uniformly and the right way. You know, kind of like a union without having the union, all the union rules and regulations. So
we don't need to have the union label on there. We just need to have our voice on there.
Yeah, because we're not going to be, you know, negotiating for prices and things like that, but you know, we can have our opinions about those things, but it's not going to be enforceable like union scale is.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, I find that if you gather in numbers, though, whether you're a union or just a trade association, which is what we are, that there's strength in that. That people respect you. If there's a lot of people who are expressing the same opinion, or an organization that represents a lot of different people expressing an opinion, they've got to listen.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I love about what World Voices is doing now, that they're trying to get the other side of the glass, you know, the producers and the agents involved as well, so that it's you know, truly is a community for voiceover artists, which is great.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear what their perspective is, which is why we want them involved in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, let's see. What else can we cover here? Is anybody else?
Well, we had a couple of more questions come in, Dan.
Oh, fabulous, Anthony. What do we got? Yeah.
Well, D-Vox has a really good one here. Any legal problems recently? I know there was some of this earlier this year. Recently, with people using music and effects for demos, any companies or sites to watch out for?
Well, the free play music issue is still going on. So, you know, basically, if you go into free play music and you download one of the songs on there and you don't purchase the license, if you display it on anywhere on the internet, YouTube, your website, your demo, you're going to get a letter saying you owe $2,500 per track to them. So that issue's still going on. There's a lawsuit in North Carolina where they actually, Free Play Music sent one of those letters to the state of North Carolina for a couple of their agencies that had used some tracks for some promotions that they did. And North Carolina sued them for declaratory judgment, saying that they were not infringing on the copyrights. So that case is still out there. And I'm very much interested to see what happens with that case and see if it's going to be held to be infringement or not. So,
yeah. And it's in North Carolina, one of our favorite states. not that there's anything wrong with North Carolina.
You're going to get all those North Carolina people writing you right now. And
one of the people I know in North Carolina is moving out of North Carolina, so it's one of the better things about that. What about the pay-to-plays? What?
That's one of the better things about that. Oh, my gosh, that's great, dude. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Where was I going with this before you so rudely interrupted me there? Pay-to-plays. Pay-to-plays. Yes. What are your thoughts on these organizations? I mean, I have some pretty strong opinions about them, and everybody's like, should I join them? Shouldn't I join them? I find them to be an integral part of what we do as voice actors. Sure. But the question becomes, when do they stop being what they say they are and they start doing something else? And what are we actually paying for in there? And should we pay close attention to the contractual language that is within the terms of engagement there, or whatever we call them, the
terms of service.
Terms of service. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You should read the terms of service because, you know, like every terms of service, there's a provision in most of them which says that they can be altered at any time. So, you know, if they feel like raising their fees at any time, you know, that's usually reserved in the terms of service. So you should read them. Right. My thoughts on them are, you know, it's just another source for work. You know, depending on what stage in your career you are, you know, they can be good. The only, obviously, one of the potential downsides for the pays-to-plays is that they can drive the prices down. You know, and if they're driving the prices down, that hurts all of us. So
that's true. But I mean, if you're careful, if you really follow their algorithms and don't pick cheap stuff, usually you're going to get sent the better, higher paying stuff anyway.
Sure. No, I agree with you 100%. You know, and that's the responsibility of each voice actor to do that. You know, because there are, as you know, a lot of low paying jobs on some of the pay to plays. So and there's pay to plays that cater to the low ball market. So you know, it's if we allow them to continue on by patronizing them. You know, it's just slippery slope. So it's just something to be careful about as a voiceover artist. So
yeah, I guess one of the concerns that maybe I have is that when do they stop being, you know, a service for hire, for providing, you know, this peer-to-peer sort of situation, and when do they suddenly become an agent? Say, if they're charging above and beyond for, you know, just okay, we found you the job. We're also going to make you pay a little up more, a little extra. We won't mention any names.
Well, if they're taking a fee just to sign up for the site, and they're not taking a percentage of each job, that's where the line is drawn. So once they start taking a percentage, I think they're acting as agents. You know, and they have to follow all the regulations that agencies would have to follow. And of course, since they're online, you know, that's a big gray area too, because if they're operating just online, then they're, you know, and they're not, they don't have a physical office in a state, then they don't necessarily have to follow those rules that for agents in a particular state. So
or states
for that. Or states, correct? Yep.
Depending on where they are. What other questions we got here? Here's a really good one from Steve Gonzalez. Started jumping around more to copyright type of stuff. In audiobook demos, it's recommended that we have something from contemporary fiction and nonfiction. Are there any copyright concerns for a demo?
If you're going to put it up online, that's where all the copyright issues are going to come to a head. So, like, technically you're not supposed to take a book and record it on a demo without getting the permission of the author or the publisher. But it's for demo purposes. But if you're going to put it up online, that's where the potential issues are going to come up. So, you know, you can run into the same free play music type of thing where, you know, you've got a a transcript of a book up there online, and you may get hit with one of those letters. Pay me $2,500, for use of the book. So, I mean, these are rare issues, but they could happen because obviously the book's copyright. It's copyrighted, so that's what it's for. The worst time to try to figure out copyright laws when someone's asking you to pay money for infringing copyrights. That's not the time to try to learn about copyright law. You should learn about it ahead of time. So,
well, usually people are just they're not gonna like sue you and say give us so much money, unless of course that's there's a something like ASCAP or something like that. But most of the time it's going to be more cease and desist, isn't it? Or just get that thing off, or
they could be, or they could, but like Free Play Music, again, as an example, they don't send cease and desist letters. They send demand letters for $2,500 per track. So, if you have a few seconds of one track of music on your demo, they want $2,500 from you. I'm not saying that publishers do this, and I haven't heard any publishers do this, but, if they want to follow this business model, Free Play Music is kind of setting the standard. So, it's kind of something that you have to think about. The easiest thing to do is just write for permission, really. If you're going to display that on your website, just write for permission. Most of the time, I've done that a few times, and I've had no problems. They write back saying, oh, yeah, no problem. Tell me what excerpts you want to use, and usually it's not a problem at all. Or just use something you've done. That's like if you do something and you can use the retail sample and just use that as your demo, and, you're fine. So those are easy ways to get around it.
Yeah, or ask permission. I remember I did a documentary once, and I had to find there was some music that this person had recorded, 50 years ago. And it was a fairly well-known song, and I needed to have it in the documentary. So I found the record company that owned the rights, and I said, can I use this in this? Oh, sure, mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah,
Maybe exactly. People will actually buy that song again after 50.
Exactly.
So you got to cover all your bases with that sort of thing. Anthony, you had a question?
I do. I mean, Rob, you get a lot of questions. I'm sure you get a lot of emails, and you're very available in the Facebook groups and all that kind of stuff. What is the there's got to be a common thread. What is the single greatest mistake that you see voice talent making? And what can we do to avoid that or to correct it or just cut it off at the pass?
The one big mistake that I see all voice talent make, it doesn't matter what level they are, all voice talent, just like any talent, they want to please. They want to please their clients. They want to please everybody. And sometimes that they want to please so much that they're not realizing that they're hurting themselves by trying to please. I'll do five more rereads for you. I won't charge you for it. That's just a small example. But voice talent are so geared to please clients that they don't if they're getting taken advantage of, they don't want to make noise. They don't want to make waves. And as a business person, you have to. And this is where it's a clash between artist and business. Like, you in a business person, you need to, in order to stay in business, you need to sometimes make waves. It's just the way that it is. And you can do it nicely, but you don't need to, you don't need to get taken advantage of. And that's probably the one common thread I see, whether someone's a pro or somebody is just starting out.
Is that where it would be helpful to have, I've heard of some voice talent having a manager or business manager. Would it be helpful to have a third party like let them be the bad guy, not you? Is that
absolutely or your agent? If someone has an agent, that's what the agent's job is. Someone basically the reason why unions were created in the first place. All the things that the union does, those are the things that non-union talent should be worried about. Not worried about, but know about. And those are the things to protect yourself. The things is what the union does to protect their talent. Same kind of thing. Because we are in a position that we could get taken advantage of very easily. And sometimes it could be dangerous. We could be put in dangerous positions. Not so much when we're doing voiceovers out of our house. But, as an actor, you can be put into some dangerous situations where, red flags are all over the place. But because we're so aimed to please, it's so geared that way, we don't recognize it. So that's the one common thread that I see. So
Yeah, it's important to, you know, to understand your legal standing and realize that business is controlled by contractual law, which is why we have attorneys.
Exactly. That's another good point, Dan. That's another thing that I see, which goes along with this. People don't like to ask for help. Actors don't like to ask for help. Voiceover artists don't like to ask for help. I'll just not get paid my $10,000. See you later. You know, they don't want to ask for help from their agents or from their attorneys because they don't want to make waves. Or they don't want to go look for an attorney, you know, because they don't want to make waves. You know, and you kind of have to recognize as a voice artist when you can try to salvage a relationship with a client and when you can't. You need to recognize that.
That's an important point. There's many, many times. I have some very long clients, people who I've been working with for years, and I trust them, you know, and they trust me. We have a working relationship. I'm part of their team. And that's an important that's an important way to look at these sorts of things. When you pick up a new client, what is it that you can do? And I know you've talked about this before, and then we can let you go and go back to doing whatever it is that you're doing tonight, all the other billions of things. What is it that people can do when they're starting out or when they're starting with a new client? What's the first thing that they should be doing to make sure they're starting off on the right foot and not jeopardizing the relationship with that client?
Well, here's where I was talking about voiceover artists being afraid. A lot of voice talents won't ask for contracts. They won't ask for things in writing because they're so nervous that they're going to, or they won't negotiate their price because they're so worried about losing the client. Where the client is, if they're a legitimate business, they expect all those things. They expect contracts and they expect to, you know, maybe pay a deposit. And they expect you to negotiate on the price. All of those things actually create trust. It actually starts to create a relationship. Because they see that you know that you're a pro and you know what you're doing. So it's very important to just act like a business person right off the bat and not worry about scaring anybody away. Like I said, do it nicely. You know, you don't have to be mean about it. Just, you know, do it nicely, and then you're gonna have you'll be able to build lots of relationships with clients because you're being a pro. And that's people want to work with pros. So they feel comfortable with you, and right from the start in your business negotiations, they're going to be, and then you deliver a great product, they're going to use you over and over again.
Yeah. So yeah. One of our favorite people, Mara Juno, has a great question. She goes, should we trademark our names? Is there any benefit to that? Well, maybe she should, because she's got a great name. But
you can, if you think someone's going to use the same name. Yeah, sure. I mean, that would be on a case-by-case basis, I would think. You know, I don't think I have any problem with my name. I don't think anybody's going to use Signal Packet anytime soon. So,
I say it every day, though.
So, you know, I mean, sure, people have trademarked their names, and that's fine. You know, especially celebrities. They trademark their names. So, sure.
Excellent. All right, do we have any other questions here? One more from Steve Gonzalez. There are a bazillion Steve Gonzalez's out there. How many are providing voiceover services? Well, that makes sense. All righty. Okay, well, Rob, thanks for coming in and under not totally ideal circumstances, but we pulled it off. We got you on here. People got to hear what you had to say. And once again, where can they get your book, Voiceover Legal? And yes, you should buy it. It's our Bible.
www.voiceoverlegal.com.
Oh, God, that was so tough. Oh, my God. Hold on a minute. I got to process that.
Did you like that? Okay, that was my voiceover it. www, too. So.
Well, that's Rob, awesome, dude.
Yeah, really. Rob, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
See you real soon.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. Rob Siglampaglia. Yes, and I know how to pronounce his name. Now, why is my mouse not working here? Oh, there it is. Okay, sure. Boom.
New batteries in that thing, man.
Yeah, I know. It's there. It's working now. It's working now. Anyway. George. Okay.
George. How you doing there?
How's that? What construction job are you doing there?
it's not really construction. I just had to install acoustical panels inside this studio, this room, as you can see as I walk around. Okay. And now I have problems with the internet. It's complicated. Today got complicated further by the fact that my client was told he could move in today, and when we got here, the tenants are still here.
Oh!
And
fun stuff.
We tore out his whole studio. We tore all these acoustical panels were nailed to the wall in his old studio. We tore all of it out this morning. Brought out all the equipment with us, took the whole rack out. Everything was taken out of there. And then we showed up at this place at like 1 o'clock, and they're like, we're not leaving until Wednesday.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Oops.
Well, that's...
Yeah, so I've got this room in the house rigged up now, but now they have Verizon Fios, and the Fios router is still using the old-school WEP security password. And these new Macs won't connect to those networks.
Oh, jeez.
You guys ever had that problem?
Oh, they're super easy to whack, dude.
Yeah. Actually, I did have that problem, and I was able to switch it to WEP 2 or yeah, WPA personal.
WPA. But the problem is it's not this guy's house yet. So I can't really go into their house, into their network, and start hacking up their router.
Right.
When it's not even like it's a really gray area, you know.
Right. Go
ahead.
Well, that's when you get out your hotspot.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the 3G, I can't even get 4G in this location. I can get 3G.
Yeah.
So it's not the greatest. It's working well enough on my phone to do this hangout right now.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not that bad.
No, really.
Actually, no, this is on Wi-Fi. I'm on their Fios network right now on my phone using Wi-Fi.
Ah.
So okay. That's working fine.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, technology. It's just another day in my life.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's and that's This Week in Tech with George Whittem. <Yeah. Whittem.
laughs> But what doesn't usually happen is my friend helping me take down the acoustical panels falls off the ladder and dislocates his shoulder.
Oh.
That's the part that doesn't usually happen. No, so
that's bad.
Well, there might be a good lesson in there as far as tech goes, George. I mean, it's not a bad idea to have a backup internet source. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the Verizon Fios. I'm sorry, the Verizon LTE connection on this phone in many areas, not every, I guess, but many is really, really fast. So I can put my Android phone in what do they call it? Hotspot mode.
Yeah,
and I can share my internet with up to 5 different people, and it's pretty darn fast. It works well, but you know, it can be costly and it can't always be reliable. And I think if you have an iPhone, you have to pay an additional $30 a month or $50 a month.
Do you? I don't know.
Just for the privilege of having a hotspot.
My bill.
No, it's, you know, my wife called one day and said, "I'm down at the AT&T store. Do you want to have the black?" Yeah, sure, fine. It was put on there. You know, when you have 4 phones and and 4 people using it in your family, they're like, "Yeah, we'll throw it in there, whatever."
When your phone bill's $300, what's another $30?
That's another $30. Right. Exactly. You know, we'll give you a cheaper plan. Not a problem. Anyway, well, we got a couple of announcements we got to throw out there because people have not been responding to our end of the year show. I think I threw one in there today.
We only got 4 requests, 4 ideas for clips. So it's going to be a short one.
Yeah, I mean, just you have to. What you have to do is you got to go into our YouTube channel and look at all the episodes from 2013 and go, my God, they had Fred Malamud on. They had, you know, we had Maurice LaMarche on. We had Maurice Tobias. We had big people on our show this year. So pick out your favorite stuff. Everybody was saying that Maurice Tobias was so fantastic. What was it that she said that we should repeat on there? You know, yeah. So go to, you know, right in the website, if you're ewabs.com, on the front page, there's a form there. Look at the time, you know, find the episode, give us the episode number and the approximate time where the tidbit that you want to see is on there, and make sure that we get all of these great scenes from 2013 in there so we can do our end of the year best of show. Like, you know, I know Dr. Bernstein has to be back in there. Because I know there was a little
Roland Flick.
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
That was with John Taylor, who we need to have on again soon. Joel and I did a number, as I recall.
Yes, you did.
Some Gilbert and Sullivan stuff. So perhaps we need to remember those little tidbits, too. And, of course, there were some... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, if you guys keep sending them in, I'll use them. I mean... I was trying to have a deadline because, you know, sometimes people just need a deadline to get
tomorrow.
I had set the deadline as a Sunday, but you know what? I'll leave it open, and I'll just leave it open until the time comes where I have to finish editing it. And so whatever's in there by the time I throw the show together will be what I'll include. So I'm just going to leave it open anytime you guys can get around to it. I know everybody, this is a really busy time of year. I totally get it. I probably won't be cutting this together until I get back from my trip to Pennsylvania, so I'll probably be cutting it together on
the 29th.
On that Sunday. Yeah.
I'll help
you
with that.
Knowing me, yeah, it'll be the last minute. So, you know, so you got an extra week or so to put it together and give it some ideas.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we've got going on is we have a new logo contest. It looks like, you know, I mean, we've had a couple of submissions. They're okay. We're looking for something spectacular, you know, 3D that rotates and does all these things. I guess we'll end up doing it ourselves. But if you've got some artistic ability, plus you're going to have kids home from school for 10 days next week, put them to work on this. Even if they do it in crayon, if it's spectacular, we really don't care.
Yeah, your kids will probably know how to do this a lot better than you will.
That's right. Yeah, they've got drawing pads on their iPads and stuff, and there's all sorts of cool stuff.
It's a school project, too.
That's right. I think I'm going to have my son do that because he is taking digital imaging in school right now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. But, you know, I mean, I designed that logo. I mean the original one, and then you know, and then George's brother Steve did the added the vectored Dan and George on there. Maybe we just stick with that. Maybe we change the color scheme or something, or we make it a 3D sphere or something and make it go around like the world or something along those lines, which we can do. And again, clickers are $5. PayPal, there's a link on the website, I think, for that. It's like on the front page, as a matter of fact.
I ordered mine last week while the show was on.
That's right.
I'm a little late at it, but
yes. And and also we have to mention voiceoveressentials.com before we head off the air here, or off the wire as it is. Nobody's on the air anymore. Go over there because they got some great specials for Christmas, so anything for your favorite person, any voiceover-related thing, like the ABS. Somebody said, do I need an ABS? What's an ABS? It's the the bush. It's the what does it mean, ABS? It's the strap that holds your boom microphone in place in case so it doesn't fall off.
It's for those cases of saggy boom.
Yes, it's the boom jock strap is what it is.
Exactly. Hey, so, I don't know if you guys noticed, but every day, was it last week or this week? Was it, what I forget what it was. I think I got one today, too. Harlan's been sending out an email with, like, two items every day.
Right.
And, like, I mean, everything. I mean, gosh, the pop filter, the carrying bag for your Portabooth Pro. I mean, just two items every day for a really good price. So,
yeah, you've been doing 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is.
Well, here it is. Let me put it up here. This is one of the great things I could do. Now, George, you'll be impressed. I was able to figure out how to get all these things on here. So,
indeed.
Here's Harlan's ad. Let's see here. There we go. There's Harlan's ad. Are we seeing that?
Yes, sir.
You know, so only 24 hours to save. So you got
his click on it so it goes full screen because we see all of your email.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody knows who I'm talking to. There we are. How's that? That help? Now is that gone?
No, yeah. I still see your main inbox. That's okay. We see the ad.
Right. Okay. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, he's got caps. He's got he's got stuff from Oralex too. Yeah, my competitor, but yeah. They make great stuff. The mopeds, which by the way, I have underneath my monitors. So make sure you you go over there to voiceoveressentials.com because Santa's holding the voiceover recording thing there.
Speaking of mopeds.
Yeah.
G-Box just chimed in and said he got some compliments and something he recorded with his VO1A. Way to go.
All right. All right, and we are back. See, I figured out how to do that. I actually played the show opening.
You did?
I did. You'll see, and it actually worked.
Now I'm seeing myself on Google Hangouts coming all back right. To me.
All right, maybe I got to get the right thing here.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, so anyway. So we're here, and it's now past our bedtime, at least past mine. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We had to reformat things because George was off somewhere else, but at least he showed up for a little while.
And, still here.
And he's still there. And we're able to, it doesn't matter. We will find a way to bring the show to you every week. This is the first time I had to do the show starting out without you. It's really weird. I mean, fortunately, I had our buddy Anthony with me. But I have to play off to somebody. I've got to be able to talk to somebody. I just can't talk to myself for an hour.
Where's your duck?
My duck?
I know.
Oh, that's. Did you get a ducky?
No, I have Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I thought you had a FAFCON duck.
No. I have Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, boy.
It's harder to do this totally by yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. All right, why am I having trouble switching cameras here? Okay. What did I do here?
I'm really ticked because I was hoping to be able to actually use the studio microphone and the computer that I'm here and come in on the Hangout, with going through the studio mic and everything, but I can't get the internet to work in here. It's very frustrating.
So, kind of makes you wonder, when is it that, why am I losing everything here? All right. Well, I think it's time to bring this to a close with a bang as opposed to a whimper, as T.S. Eliot once wrote. Was that T.S. Eliot?
Thanks for coming in to help out, Anthony.
Hey, no problem, man. Like I told Dan, I'm here to serve. I can do my best Ed McMahon.
I'm glad that wasn't you and the Taurus sliding down the road doing a 360.
Dude, I know where that hill is. Whoa, dude, wormhole. Whoa. Yes.
There we go. Wow. Now we're back.
I actually know where that hill is, and I'm telling you, it's four-wheel drive will do nothing for you on a hill like that. Absolutely nothing. And, that's fun because at the bottom of that hill, if you don't stop in time, there's the Portage Canal. In you will go.
Yeah, that's the fun part about the snow. I mean, of course, you're not getting. I mean, is there snow up in the mountains there now, George?
Not much. They're saying this is going to be one of the driest winters that we've had on record, which really sucks because I ski, and I have a season pass to the local hill here called Mount Baldy, and it is bald.
It usually is. Well, you're going to get to ski when you come back east next week. There is lots of skiing in Pennsylvania and western New York.
We'll be skiing in our front yard at my parents' house.
You're going to just build a little hill there?
Yeah, there's a hill there.
Okay, cool. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, I have to check my notes here. I believe we're actually going to be joining you next week in Philadelphia.
Holiday Hangout.
We're going to be joining it's the Holiday Hangout with the Whittem family. So if you want to join us for the Hangout, email us here at ewabshop@gmail.com. And you want to have a little holiday party with us next week, we can do that. And then the following week, it's the end of the year best of show. Can you believe it's the end of 2013 already?
No.
I can leave it behind.
Hey, you I see a thing here that's worth keeping to a classroom. And then
okay, well, yeah. It's with not Ella there, it's somebody else trying to interrupt George. Anyway, and then January 6th, we have Bob Bergen, speaking of interesting people and SAG-AFTRA and all that other stuff. So we'll have lots of questions for him on January 6th. So we're doing just great here. Got other great guests coming up in 2014. And that's going to do it for me. As soon as George comes back, I'll tell you what. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
I'm Anthony Gettig in the Midwest.
In the upper Midwest.
In the hinterlands.
And George Whittam is out west and dealing with a client. And together we all are East West Audio Body Shop. Have yourself a great night, everybody. Thanks for hanging in with me tonight, and we'll see you next Sunday night with George's family. Have a good one.